Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. That's where my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Grab
that's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And I didn't choose to rap. He just fell into a backup plan.
So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When he looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us, cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
Alright. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. Today is Monday, Moon Day, December the 5th, 2016, and the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time, really explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the Word of God, the Word of Yahuwah and His Son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sister, we want to talk about building the temple that houses the Shekinah glory of God. This is sounds like a religious message, but it's not. This is actually an economic message. This is actually a clarionic message. This is a message, again, that is designed to assist, again, people who are serious about doing what God has designed and gifted you to do. Now, when I say God, I'm not talking about this mystical guy in the sky. I'm talking about the grantor of destiny. So everybody has a destiny. Everybody has something that they are designed and gifted by God to do. Now, the problem is most people don't know that. So when most people hear my messages, they think that it is a religious message. And a lot of my messages are. That's the problem. The problem is me I create a lot of the problems with my own message, meaning a lot of messages that I do are so religious in nature that they separate people who are interested in business. And a lot of the messages that I do are so religious in nature that they separate it from people who are interested in physical fitness. And a lot of messages that I do are so religious in nature that they separate the people that are interested in relationship messages. And so I'm a creator. At the end of the day, at the foundation, the core number, everybody listening to this show, there is a number that is visible by all of the numbers that's inside of your life path, your expression number, your soul urge number, and your life path, well, life path number. Now, what does that mean? That just simply means that there you have a foundation. There is a vibrational foundation. Underneath you is a frequency, a single standing column of waveform energy. Mine is a 3. That means that at my core, that means at my base, I am a creator. If you find, if you look at everything that I do, you will find that. Now, my name in Hebrew means Bethaziah. Bethaziah means builder of the temple that houses the Shekinah glory of God. That's who I am being. That's what I am doing. At the end of the day, if you look at everything that I do, that's what I am doing. So my job is to build your temple so that way your purpose can reside inside of your body. That's why I am on earth. That's what I do when I sleep. I build temples. And so every time I get off track and start building other things, they're good, but they're not my best. And so today's message is to not only bring clarity as to who I am, but to show you how who I am can assist you with being who you are. And so the most important thing for you, brothers and sisters, is for you to oscillate or to vibrate in your space, because no one can be you but you. And so for you to be comfortable with being you, I got to be comfortable with being me. So to the degree that I am comfortable with being me is the degree that you are comfortable with being you. And so when you are around people that are honest, it allows you to be honest. When you are around people that are fake, it allows, it promotes, it encourages you to be fake. So the goal is for each one of us to be authentic. The goal is for each one of us to be real. The goal is for each one of us to do and to be and to have what God has created us to be, to do and to have. So my job is to realize that as an individual that wants to be as effective as I can with assisting everybody else with being effective is for me to be effective. One of the things that I am very good at is creating. So there are a lot of people that have problems with creating. So my job is to assist who are gifted in other areas with being creative. And so if I can assist you with being creative, it allows you to do the things that you do best and allow me to do the things that I do best. So the next series that we're doing after we complete this series is called The Biological Temple of God. Now, you are a biological electrical being. So in 2017, instead of me, now I've been going over this, been praying, been really, really, really thinking about what is the best way that I could really be of assistance to myself and to other people. Well, I had a difficult decision to make. That is, I need to continue to market to people who sit in coach, or I need to market to people who sit in first class. Because right now I do both. I market to, again, just like Jesus. Jesus has he spoke in parables. He said he spoke to the outside audience. Then he pulled his disciples aside, and he told them what he really meant. So there is two messages. All parables are given to two sets of people. So I'm going to continue to do that, but like Yahushua did, my emphasis is going to be on the private message. If you notice, Yahushua pulled aside 12 men and or women, 12 men and women, and those disciples that he pulled aside, he said it is for them it is not to know, but for you it is to know. So like Yahushua, going forward in 2017, my message is going to be, I will have the general message. I will continue to do what I've been doing, but I want to pull aside 12 people. Now, it may be 12, it may be 5, it may be 20. The number is not the point. The point is the premium content. So premium content means the VIP section. The VIP section means there are people that are didactic like me. Not everybody wants the level of didactic teaching that I've been giving. That is why I lose a lot of people, because they're not interested in going that deep. They don't need 7 definitions of one word like I do. But there are some. Out of every 10 people I talk to, there's one person who is didactic like me. So 2017, my message is for that 1 out of 10. Now, the other 9 can still listen, but my primary emphasis is on building the temple of the 1 out of 10. Because that's my job. So I've been watering down my message, or I have not been being, that means that I have not been being me. I've not been being effective. Because, again, I've been focusing on the masses, because I had a dilemma. My dilemma was I was treating the masses, I was treating everybody didactically. And so I can't form a deep relationship with 100 people, but I can form a deep relationship with one person. And that deep relationship will allow that one person to get past the hurdles, glass ceiling in their life. Everybody needs a transformative message, but everybody, let me rephrase that, everybody should want, but everybody doesn't need. So what I've been doing is I've been taking my message and trying to give it to the people that need my message instead of giving it to the people that want my message. So people don't buy what they need. People buy what they want. Now, you got to do the same thing. You have to stop trying to sell or stop trying to hang out with people that need you. You need to hang out with people that want you. There's a big difference from the people that need. People don't buy what they need. People buy what they want. Now, nobody needs a 300 pair of Air Jordans. Nobody. But Michael Jordan is a billionaire because people don't buy what they need. They buy what they want. Nobody needs a Lamborghini. Nobody needs a $200,000 car. Nobody. There's no way you can convince me that you need a $200,000 Lamborghini. I don't care what you're doing. But Lamborghini sells a lot of $200,000 cars. Why? Lamborghini knows that there is a market for $200,000 cars. And Lamborghini knows that somebody, it may not be me, it may not be you, but there's somebody out there that wants, they don't need it, but they want it. So now I'm not building temples for people that need temples like I've been doing. I'm only building temples for people that want temples. So now my market is totally shifted. My message is totally shifted. My mindset is totally shifted. So everything that I'm doing now is for people that want didactic teaching. They understand the value in didactic teaching. They understand that the only way that you can be transformative is through didactic teaching. Because if you listen to it, now I can do messages. Now, what brought me to this conclusion? All the people I talk to. The people that I talk to, they're not transforming. Their life is not changing. Now, what do I mean? Okay, when I go to the gym, I exercise. Now, when I exercise, before I don't write it down, I have in my brain what I want. And I want a transformative. Now, what is meant by perspective transformation? Now, transformative process. It has three dimensions. A transformative process has a psychological dimension. It has a convictional dimension, and it has a behavioral dimension. Now, that is what I've been attempting to do by doing shows and writing books and doing pay-per-view. Unfortunately, it doesn't cut five levels, and therefore people are not changing, but the people are not as unhappy as I am. See, when I am not doing this because I like to hear myself talk. Now, I got a good three emails from the last two messages that I did on love. So I did the message that love must be tough, and then I did love must be first. And people they applied, and I got some good emails. One sister said, you know, her and her husband, they applied what I said. And just with those two messages, it really brought about a transformation in their relationship. Because she realized what she was doing wrong, he realized what he was doing wrong. And he realized, and he said, Doc, man, I didn't know that I was giving my wife what I wanted instead of what she wanted. Changed. And I realized that I thought I was loving my wife, but I wasn't. And she realized that she thought she was respecting me, but she actually was disrespecting me. And so I thought about that message, and I was like, wow, man, that's awesome. But I'm wondering how long is this going to last, because it's not transformative. Now, when I say transformative, you got to remember what I mean. Now, let's go through the three areas of what I'm going to be doing in 2017. A transformative message means that I want to do things that actually transform the temple. So that way it works on three different levels, so that way you are able to go past the glass ceiling. Now, the glass ceiling is this invisible ceiling that everybody has, that I can only go so far, and then I suffer from what is called a disorienting dilemma. Now, you don't know this because this happens subconsciously. How do you know it? You go and apply for it. Now, you could be making $35,000. You've been making $35,000 all your life. Now, go apply for a job making $60,000. Watch what happens. You're going to be disoriented, because this is triggered by a major life transition. So anytime you make a major life – now, this is the psychological understanding that I know that happens. And how do I know? Because everybody in the Eagles Club, like I said before – you know, I'm down to two members, and I started off with 10. And I told everybody, and everybody got upset when I said that, because people said that, Brother Will, you're being negative by telling us the truth. Now, if I tell you that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, I'm not being negative, brother. I'm not being negative, sister. The sun does rise in the east, and the sun does set in the west. The fact that I'm stating fact over fiction doesn't make me negative Nancy. It makes me a realist. It means I live in the real world. And in the real world, after 30 years of doing this, and I keep getting the same result. Why? Because when I pray, when I ask the universe, why are people not being successful? Why am I happy in the face of adversity and everybody else is not? Because everybody else around me is miserable. And I'm happy, and everybody looking at me like, why are you happy? Well, I'm happy because I'm getting results. Well, I go to the gym, and I work out for 30 days, and I don't lose 30 pounds. Why are you losing 30 pounds, and I'm not? What are you doing? Well, I went to the gym. Then afterwards, I went home and watched TV, and I ate a box of Krispy Kreme donuts. Well, you see, I didn't do that. And so you're expecting to get the same results that I'm getting, but you're not willing to do the same things that I'm getting. And then they said, well, you didn't tell me that. Oh, well, maybe I should have been more didactic in my teaching, to be more specific, to give you the exact details, a step-by-step program, a blueprint. And maybe instead of me leaving it up to you to develop that program, like I've been now with the Claronomics program that we're doing right now, I'm telling people exactly. I gave them 30 steps in 30 days. we've gone through, we're on class number like 80. And I think Sister Tammy, Sister Seda, them are the only two that are that have actually done. Now, everybody else is in the process of determining. I talked with Brother Dana. He's still in the process, you know, like Brother Rome and other people, they're in the process of ironing out their website name is. So they haven't actually went to GoDaddy.com or wherever, like I said, in, you know, step one and actually purchased the domain name. Or they haven't set up a Blog Talk page or a Spreaker page, but they're in the process of doing that. So what is the problem that is limiting their success? What is the problem that is limiting your success? Well, the problem is the message is not transformative enough. Meaning the psychological, that means I have to change the understanding of the self, number one. Number two, I have to revise the belief system of the conviction. And number three, I have to implement behavioral changes in the lifestyle. That is how you change. Now, brothers and sisters, I've been doing this for 25 years. I learned this way back in the day when I took my training to become a neuro-linguistical programmer. Now, I studied neuro-linguistical programming back in the 70s and the 80s, before it was even a thought form, before anybody, most of the people in my group were even born. Now, why neuro-linguistical programming? Because that's what it was done when I went to a Christian Science practitioner. Now, maybe you don't know what Christian Science is. People don't talk about Christian Science anymore. That's what Yahushua taught. Now, I know this is contrary to your theology. I understand. But Christian scientists is similar to like what they taught in Scientology. Now, Christian Science, the Church of Christian Science, they kind of slipped in the background now because they got a bad rap when Scientology came out. Mary Baker Eddy is one of the founders of what they call Christian Science or the Law of God or the Law of Good. Now, Christian Science, again, has some flaws, like any good teaching. It is not the, you know, the basis of it. You can look at it. But Christian Science talks about the illusion of sickness that can be corrected by prayer. Now, prayer changes things. I don't know if y'all know that or not. Most of y'all do. But for the people that don't, let me let you in on a little secret. Prayer, a.k.a. meditation, a.k.a. calling those things that are not as though they were, a.k.a. Hebrews 11:1, which says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So Mary Baker Eddy, she figured out that life is consciousness and God is consciousness. And the supreme causality, that's the same thing that the church says, but because it was metaphysical, because it was science-oriented, the church rejected it. And so the church of Christ, the church scientists, the science of health, the science of healing, the biology of belief, everything that Dr. Emoto proved, cymatics, everything that I now teach and that main science now teach, way back in the 70s and 80s, that was all called witchcraft. But now, everybody understands it, but now everybody accepts it. But it's still the same message that the Church of Science taught. So what is that message? The message is simply this. The observer determines what is observed. Now, you can slice it up. You can call it whatever you want to call it. At the end of the day, all the message says is this, that the belief that is held in the brain molds the matter that is held in the hands. That's it. Period. Let me say it again. The belief that is held in the brain molds or shapes the matter that is controlled by the hands. So if my brain, not conscious brain, subconscious brain, because the subconscious brain is three times the size of the conscious brain. So if my subconscious brain says all white people listen to country and Western music, subconsciously. Now, logically, I know that they don't. Logically, common sense tell me, I know good well that not every Caucasian on earth listens to country and Western music. But my subconscious brain tells me that based upon my environment, based upon my teachings, based upon the people I hang out with, based upon what I learned from the time that I was born until I was 8 years old or 12 years old, depending upon what time you say the accountable age is. So if I don't do three things, I cannot override my belief that says all white people listen to country and Western music. So if I don't, number one, change the understanding of myself. Number two, change the belief system that is held by myself. Number three, change the lifestyle or the behavior that is manifested from the belief. If I don't do those three things, I cannot override the fact that I believe that all white people listen to country and Western music, no matter how much I have a reasonable, logical understanding, because I know my brain will automatically block out white people that listen to rap. I won't even be able to see it. Did you know that poverty consciousness prevents you from building wealth? If you have a poverty mentality, you cannot see money. Do you understand what I'm saying? So to build the temple, I have to do transformative teaching. What I've been doing is surface level teaching to the masses. That's why people are not changing. So in 2017 and moving forward, I'm only working with people that are serious about transformative process. That's how you build a temple. Now, I've been doing this for 20 years because I did it with myself. Now, let me make sure that you understand what I'm saying. How do you build the temple? So you are the temple of God. You don't go to the temple. You are the temple. So how do you build your temple? Well, you are a biological, electrical, chemical being. Therefore, I need biology. That's going to determine my electricity. That's going to control my chemistry. So if I don't deal with biology, I cannot control my emotions, which is my electricity, and I won't be able to control my feet and my hands, which is my chemistry. So I don't want to drink. I know drinking is bad for me, or I don't want to smoke, or I beat my wife. Maybe I come home every day and I kick my dog. Maybe I come home every day and I throw rocks at the neighbor's kids, whatever. But I know that it's wrong. I don't want my hands to do that. I do not want my hands to go over there to pick up that donut. I know eating donuts is bad for me. I know it. But unfortunately, knowing something doesn't prevent me from doing it. Come on, man. Are y'all serious? Let's stop playing. Be for real. You know good and well there's certain things in your behavior that you're doing that you know is not right. You don't need no Reverend Dr. Bishop. You don't need no psychologist. You don't need to go lay on nobody's sofa. You don't need nobody to pray for you. You don't need nobody to slap no oil upside your head. You don't need to go see no freaking therapist. You know what you're doing is wrong, man. But you're doing it anyway. Why? People tell me I'm doing it because I want to, man. That's why I'm doing it, Doc. No. Let me tell you why you're doing it, brother. Let me tell you why. Now, maybe you're not ready for this message yet, but you know what? I'm going to tell you anyway. I have this book called Neurotheology. So inside of this book, this book is based upon scientific fact. Now, this book is only 100 pages long. Anybody listening to this show today, I give you this book for free. Just email me at masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. I will send you the PDF copy of my book entitled Neurotheology. See, right now, you have neurons inside of your body. Now, we are talking about this right now inside of the series entitled CSF, the cerebral spinal cord fluid. There is a liquid lattice or a liquid latex, or it is a glass ladder that is inside of your blood. It's called the matrix. When electromagnetism is shined into this liquid, it produces a stairwell. It's called Jacob's ladder from the just 33 bones in your spine. This is all scientifically proven. It is inside of my book that I'm talking about right now. So your brain works like this. The brain uses what we call prayer, meditation, and the principles of prayer. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the basic principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now, if there's anybody listening to the sound of my voice who wants to go on to perfection, please listen to this. Hebrews 6:1 says, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of the doctrine of baptism and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, if they were to turn away, to be saved or redeemed or called back. This is telling us what not to teach. Let me say that again. This is telling us what not to teach if you want to go on to perfection. Hebrews 6:1. It says, let us leave the basic principles of the doctrine of Christ and let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repenting from their works. Now, I want you to think for a moment of what I just said. So I just said that we're not supposed to lay this foundation again because God said, I already did this. So I don't know about you, but every church in America, I know this is what they teach. They teach what God says don't teach. Let me say that again. They teach what God says don't teach. God says don't teach about the basic doctrine of Christ. Don't teach about laying on of hands. Don't teach about repenting from their works. Don't teach about faith toward God. Don't teach about the doctrine of baptism. Don't teach about laying on of hands. Don't teach about the resurrection of the dead. Don't teach about the eternal judgment. He said, this I've already done. He said, now we need to go on to perfection. So what are we supposed to be teaching then? Neurotheology tells you that I have to change my map. My map is my motivated abilities pattern. Everybody has a pattern in their brain that was developed from the time that they was born until they got to the age of 8. By the time you are 8 years old, your brain is sealed. The telomeres inside of your DNA, they put a cap on it. There's a biological cap that is screwed on your DNA by the time you're 8. This is called a telomere. T-E-L-O-M-E-R-E-S. Triple dare you to go to Google and research it. I triple dare you to go to Google and type in telomeres. Telomeres determine when you die. Now, that was put on your DNA at birth. So your time was already predetermined before you was born. It's called a telomere. Now, how do you control your behavior? How do you control your attitude? How do you change your DNA? How do you change your personality? How do you change who you are being? This is called neuroplasticity. This is all I study. This is called neurotheology. This is the field of studying to understand how you override the glass ceiling in your brain. So you are pre-programmed with a certain way or a certain disposition based upon your parents and based upon how they raise you, based upon your environment. So how do you override what your mom and dad did? How do you override what the Reverend Dr. Bishop told you? How do you override what you saw? If you was a kid and you grew up and you saw bad things, how do you override it? Well, the only way that you override it is through what I've just said, which is there has to be a psychological change. That means psychologically, we have to change your understanding of yourself. There has to be a convictional change. That means your convictions. Your convictions is your belief system, your BS, your bullshitness. You got a lot of bullshitness that you believe. You got to get rid of that bullshitness. That bullshitness is keeping you trapped inside of the box. Last, we got to get rid of your lifestyle. There is a behavioral. You behave a certain way. Now, I'm telling you what to do, but I'm not telling you how and why. There's three things you have to do: psychological, convictional, and behavioral. Psychological, convictional, behavioral. Biological, electrical, chemical. Spiritual, that is, you have a spirit that has possession of a soul that manifests itself through a body. So if I want to change how my body acts, I got to change how my soul thinks. That means I got to change how my spirit thoughts. Now let's break each one of these three areas down. Spirit. You have a spirit of alcohol. You have a spirit of lust. You have a spirit of fear. You have a spirit of doubt. You have a spirit of unbelief. Where do spirits come from? You are not a spirit. You are given a spirit. Anybody watch Westworld last night? HBO series? Now, on Westworld, on HBO, everything that I'm saying, I knew nothing about this. I just started watching it. Doctor Strange, same thing. The Transformers, same thing. Batman versus Superman, same thing. Spider-Man, same thing. Thor, same thing. All of the Avengers, same thing. All of the movies are telling you the same thing. You're a human being, and something gives you superpowers. Where do you get your superpowers from, brother? Your superpowers from, now you got a superpower, but it's angry. All you know, every day you wake up and you get pissed off. You go to work, somebody look at you, you look at them. Hey, man, what the hell are you looking at? No, what you looking at? Why? It's your superpower. Where it come from? It's called a tutelary. Now, I've broken this down on many, many shows, so I'm not going to bore you with the details. But make sure you understand, you got one. Everybody was assigned a tutelary. That's what the word spirit means. If you are a genius, if you got an exceptional genius, means genie. The word genie means gin. The word gin means entity. Demonic, usually. Do you know the word demonic is not a bad word? Now, the church says it's bad. The definition says it just means an entity that pulls alongside of you to give you power. Now, inside of my series I'm talking about what the church knew before Constantine. Now, the word Constantine means constellations. So, 325 A.D., Constantine says, I'm going to change the constellations. Before Constantine, the church was based upon the stars. Constantine says, I don't want people to map their behavior and their psychological makeup based upon the planetary system. I want people to worship me. So Constantine, which means constellations, he took out the constellations, the zodiac signs, and he put in Constantine, Christianity, the Knights Templar, the Catholic Church. Now, before Constantine, every magician knew, every Christian knew that he could call up, he could get control of, and he could identify himself with any spirit that he wanted to. He could then control inferior spirits and powers with a higher spirit. Every Christian was believed to do miracles by such a necromancing control of the spirit of Jesus because he had been crucified. So they knew they could control lesser deities with a higher deity. So they summoned the power. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Go to any church, they lay hands on you, they slap oil upside your head, and they pray for you, and they ask you to be filled with the Spirit of God. What does that mean, brother? What does that mean, sister? That's called demon possession. Now, I know that's contrary to your theology, I understand. But unfortunately, I got something called real life experience. So when Jesus walked around and the demons saw him, and they said, hey, why do you come and torment us before our time? Dude, it's not our time yet. We got more time to play, and you messing up our game. If you say, okay, y'all leave and go into those pigs over there, and they left, and they went into the pigs. Why? Do you understand the demonic hierarchy? You ever been in the military? Do you know the ranks in the military are identical to the ranks in the demonic realm? Now, you know that there's an angelic realm. You know there's cherubims, there's seraphim, there's princes, there's powers, there's thrones, there's dominions. Do you know that the rank in the heavenly realms is the same as the rank in the military? What does that mean, brother? What does that mean, sister? That means a general outranks a captain. So if a general walks in the room, when I was in the military, they say, oh, 10, hook, and everybody stood up at attention. And what did they do? They saluted the higher ranking officer. What does that mean? That means they gave him respect. That means that they follow orders. That means that they kiss his ring finger. That means that they wipe his butt if they say to. Why? What gave him power? Why do we respect? Why does a lieutenant respect the captain? But why does the captain respect a general? Because of his rank. And so if you don't understand that there are spiritual hierarchies, and in the demonic realm, a lesser demon respects a higher ranking demon. It's no different than the spiritual realm. But the fact that you don't understand that, that means you don't have a power over that. So in order to build the temple, you got to understand the dispositions and which disposition you must maintain. Now, I talked about yesterday in 1 John chapter 4, I said something that was a cookie blower. Hopefully you listened to yesterday's show. Let me remind you what it says in 1 John 4, I think it was 17. It says something like this. Jesus said, God said, however I am in heaven, you got to be on earth. Now, let it marinate, because we was talking about love. Now, there is no greater power than love, because love is God. Love is God. The Bible says that there is no fear in love. So if you are in a relationship and you love that person, but you're afraid that she's going to leave you, you're afraid that, you know, she ain't going to cook for you if you don't do this, that's not love. What you got is called control. You, there's a higher-ranking demon that's overriding you. So you're the lower-ranking demon in the relationship. Brother Will, what the hell does that mean? Okay, let's read it in the Bible. Please go with me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. 1 John 4, 15 says, if anyone confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Now, if anybody confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Now, I'm doing the series right now that shows you that Constantine personified the body with the people in the Bible. So the Bible means body. Bible, body. Bible, body. What does that mean? Now, I've proven to you, if you are listening to my series, and if you have the book based upon science, I use biology, based upon, again, spirituality, I use books that's not in the Bible, and based upon chemistry or the Bible of chemistry. With all three versions are books I've proven to you with my series Christ in You or Christened, with the series that I'm doing right now, CSF, I can biologically prove that everything and every person that is in the Bible is actually a body part inside of your body. And I've proven to you already, and I can continue to prove to you if needed, the personification of that. Now, am I saying that the personages that are mentioned did not exist? I don't know. All I know is they can't find none of the grave sites. Now, my boy, what's his name? He said that he would pay anybody's living expenses for the rest of their life if they could find the grave site of any biblical character. What's his name? He's on. I posted a video yesterday on my Facebook page. Now, he said he put a challenge out, and he said that he would pay anybody's living expenses for the rest of their life if they could show him the grave site of any person mentioned in the Bible. That grave site that contains their body. Now, everybody has, they say, well, you know, the tomb of Jesus is over in blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but his body's not there. His bones are not in there. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Moses, everybody in the Bible, there has been no evidence found that they have existed. Ever. None. Now, we can go find pretty much all of the pharaohs in Egypt, their tombs. Tutankhamun and Pharaoh, Akhenaten, and all of these dudes, they can find their bones. So why can't we find any of the bones or any of the grave sites, any of the burial sites of anybody? Just one. What does that mean? Well, don't mean nothing to me. But for some folk, it means a lot. I'm just saying, what Constantine did, what Constantine has done, yeah, Ray Higgins, thank you, Brother Dana. His name is Ray Higgins. Ray Higgins has said, now, I kind of agree with Ray Higgins on this point. I can't find, Ray Higgins has not been able to find one not just, I mean, do you understand what that means? I mean, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, nor am I the brightest bulb in the pack, but there is something wrong when I got proof and evidence what Constantine says, that I'm going to take the body parts and make them into people. And so he took your body parts and gave them human being characteristics and created your Helios Biblius. Now, whether you believe that or not, yeah, that's up to you. I just got something to call historical fact. That's why I only teach historical fact and biological fact and universal spiritual law. So what does that do for me? That creates process number one. Number one, in order for you to get past your glass ceiling, you're going to make $10 an hour, you're going to make $20 an hour. You can never make $20 an hour unless you do three things. Number one, there has to be a psychological change in yourself. You got to understand that the temple of God is not out there. You got to understand that the temple of God is in here. You got to stop praying to God and start praying as God. Nothing happens until you do that. Until you stop praying to God and start praying as God, you'll understand yourself. There is no psychological change because you cannot override the amygdala and the hypothalamus, which puts you in a state of fear, which produces tunnel vision, and you can't see money because you got a spirit of fear, because you got a spirit of poverty, because of the way that you was raised, because of your environment, because of what you saw. So how do you transform it, brother? How do you transform it, sister? You got to change your psychological subconscious brain. How? Everybody tells me what I need to do, but ain't nobody telling me how and why. How you need to do it, brothers and sisters, you got to do it through what I have in my book called Neurotheology, what I teach in my Clarinomics class, what I'm doing for myself, which is I put words, I put ideals, I put pictures in my brain that is based upon biological, that is based upon scientific, that is based upon psychological fact, not theories. And it brings about a change in my understanding of myself. And then all of a sudden, my belief system changes. Now I don't believe in no fairy tales. I don't believe in Santa Claus anymore. I don't believe in the Easter Bunny. I don't believe in the jack-o'-lantern. I don't believe in all of this bullshitness that they're selling me. All of a sudden, now I got a conviction. Now when I talk as one having authority. Now when I teach like Yahushua. And they saw Jesus, and when he was talking, they said, hell of time out. Isn't that the carpenter's son? I know that fool. He ain't no damn teacher. Why he walk around here talking about he got control over demons and devils and all of this stuff? And we're not following him. That's the carpenter's son. But guess what, brothers and sisters? Jesus knew who he was. He didn't care what other people thought. He went through a psychological change that brought about a transformation. He went through a convictional change. And he said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Why? Because me and the Father are one. Where did Jesus get that idea from? Now, whether Jesus existed or not is irrelevant. What's important is the vibe, the frequency, the wave, the energy. This is what Jesus did. 1 John 4:16 says, and we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us, God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now, God for me means grantor of destinies. God is the grantor of destiny. G, grant. O, of, D, destiny. That's what God is, the grantor of destinies. How does he grant destinies? Verse 17, in this way, love has been perfected among us, so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment, that for in this world we are just like him. Let me read verse 17 in the New Living Translation again. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. Now, remember, I talked about this yesterday. The day of judgment means that the day that the sun rises and sets. That's every day. Now, I don't know about you, but the day the sun rose in the east, I mean in the west, by then tonight it's going to set. So if you look it up in the Greek, it means the rising and setting of the sun. That happens every day. It's not no mystical day in the future. It is today, brother. It is today, sister, because the sun rose today. It says, every day that the sun rises and sets, we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the earth. Let me say it again in case you missed it. Let me read in the King James. Because as he is, so are we in this world. In other words, God is love. That means while you're in this world, if you do everything in love, you're just like God. So when the demon sees you, just like in the Lion King, in the movie, well, the little cub, when Simba was a little cub and the hyenas had him backed in that corner and he let out a little growl, they started laughing. Growl! Like, that's all you got, homie? And then Mufasa, his daddy, walked up behind him. But Simba didn't know that his daddy was behind him. And when Simba roared, his daddy roared. And them hyenas scattered like roaches. Why? Because Simba and his father were one. So if you want your problems to scatter like roaches, you got to be one with the Father. How do you become one with the Father? To oscillate and to vibrate in love. Now, your intentions every day has to be to do the golden rule. Do unto others as I want to do unto them. If you do that, everything that you touch will turn into gold. Why? Because of verse 18. See, when you are in the world, you got to be just like God. Because when you do that, look what happens in verse 18. 1 John 4, 18 says, there is no fear in love. Brothers and sisters, I don't do fear. I'm sorry. I don't do fear. I keep telling y'all. Why? Because my intentions, I've never woke up in the morning and said, I want to see who I can piss off today. I don't do that. I don't woke up with the intention. Now, bad things happen. Now, I was married for 25 years to my first wife. I could bring her on the phone right now, and she'll tell you she's still waiting for bad shootings to happen to me. Ain't nothing bad happened to me. Why? When I was married to that woman, it was not my intention to hurt, to harm, to defraud her. I made bad decisions, man. It was not mine. You think I woke up in the morning and said, man, what can I do right now? Why the hell would I marry somebody with the intention of hurting them? But some people think. I got five children. Do you think my five children moved all over the country with me because I was a stupid? Do you think I woke up in the morning and said, I'm going to be a stupid idiot today? No, I did exactly what I saw my father do. And he did exactly what his father did. The sins of the father is passed down to the son. I didn't wake up with the intention of going out and hurting, harming, and defrauding anybody. That is not my job. That's not why I'm on earth. Neither is it yours. Very few people wake up in the morning with the intent of causing harm and mayhem. But sometimes loving person A hurts person B. So are you intending upon hurting person B? No. It just happens. It's called collateral damage. So why are you beating yourself up, brother? Why are you beating yourself up, sister? You cannot allow the enemy to put shizness on you that is not you. So I don't take responsibility for collateral damage. I just know every day I woke up and I try to live my life in love. I try to put my best foot forward. Unfortunately, sometimes people get upset and they get mad because I'm just loving people. Do you know that some people don't want you to love everybody? I don't know if y'all figured that out yet, but there are some people, they like to control you. That means they got a tutelary demon. Why? Demons like to control. Con, which means to swindle. Troll, large, clumsy demon. Anybody that is a control freak is a demon freak. People who control are themselves controlled. But the Bible says this is how you get rid of control. 1 John 4:18 says there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Now remember, we broke down the word perfect. The word perfect in the original text means not needing, wanting. So it says this: I'm in a relationship with you. You say, Brother Will, I'm going to leave you, dog. I'm going to say, dude, you need help packing? Why? I'm going to say that to you because I don't need you. Now, I want you. I want to have a relationship with you. But if you come to tell me, I want to control Brother Will. How can I control him? You know what? I'm going to threaten that fool. I'm going to tell him, you know what, dude? I'm leaving tomorrow. And you know what? Yeah. Now, that works on some people. But this is how you drive out foolishness. When somebody say, I'm leaving, you say bye. Don't allow people to control you. That's love. Now, the people tell me that love is the opposite. People tell me love is control. I meet people, and they're in a relationship with somebody who controls them, and they say, well, they really love me. And demons need control. God doesn't. God, love sets you free. Demons, fear keeps you captive. That's how you can tell the difference. It is so easy. I can see demons everywhere. You know the demons now? Modern-day demonology is yesterday's theology. It's the craziest thing since sliced bread. I see demons walking around in plain sight. Every day, I go to this Walmart and I see demons everywhere. And people can't see them. It blows my cookies. How do you know a demon when you see one? Demons got to control. If they can't control you, they throw a tantrum. They throw a fit. Because demons must control. But love sets you free. Perfect love drives out fear. That's how you know. Notice the love must be perfect. That means if you are in a relationship because you need somebody, that is not love. I don't know what you got, but it's not love. So in order for you to transform yourself to the next level, you got to be self-sufficient. Now, we just talk wealth, health, wisdom, and relationships. But in order for you to get to the point of being self-sufficient, it requires a psychological change. It requires a spiritual change. It requires a thought process change. How do you do this? You don't change nothing. Remember, I told you, you never leave a job. You never leave your mate. You never leave your car. You never, ever leave nothing. You simply outgrow it. Now, when you change your frequency, you change your channel. Person, the place, and the thing, they on a different channel than you. They can't relate to you. They don't get you no more. Y'all don't vibe. You ever notice how people birds will feather flock together? Do you know that thugs always attract other thugs? It's the craziest thing since sliced bread. The way that I can tell who you are is I just look at the people you hang out with. Now, look at the people I hang out with. Look at my friends. Now, look at your friends. You see the difference? Look at your friends, man. Look at the people that you hang out with. Who like you? Now, look at who likes you. You know that all my friends are Caucasian? Now, it has nothing to do with race. People tell me all the time, I go to a home, people tell me, dude, you think like a white dude. That's all my friends tell me. Oh, man, you ain't black, dude. You don't know what happened to you, dog. You left and you ain't black. Even my kids tell me that I act white. What are they saying, though? You know, white people don't think like black people. Now, predominantly, why, though? Because white people don't think with a poverty consciousness. See, white people, they think optimistically. Black people think pessimistically. Black people have I wish a Negro would mentality. Black people walk around with this attitude like I wish I would. They go around looking for trouble, full of anger. And I used to go to the like, oh boy, in the movie theater. I would go to the movies and I would be saying to myself, I wish he would be sitting in my seat. Please be sitting in my seat. I want somebody to sit in my seat so I can go off. So I walk up on these men, what the fuck are you doing in my seat? Get your, that was my mentality. I was looking for conflict. And then I realized that's not how you make money. Because if you look for conflict, you draw conflict. So I had to change my mentality. So tomorrow's message, we're going to talk about how you change your mentality so that way you can bring about a different reality. See, you have to change your mentality, brother, so that way you can change your reality. The builder of the temple of God. 2017, I'm only building temples. I ain't playing around with people who are looking for adversity, people who want to pick fights, people who are interested in, you know, wasting time and money, people who want to play church. No, it is time out. I am no longer sitting in coach. I'm only riding first class. I'm not just hanging out with the people who sitting in the general audience. I'm hanging out with the VIP section because I want to be in that VIP section. What does that mean? That means that I want to bring about specific results. I want to ensure a specific change takes place in my life and in the lives of the people that I hang around with. And so in teaching, instead of teaching a general message like today, I want to teach specific tools to specific people to bring about a specific change. And tomorrow we'll break down more of those specific tools that I'm going to be sharing with specific people to build specific temples. My brothers, my sisters, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but know this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. Kettle corn or something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the acting, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2, some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1-2-1-2, some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.